Deuteronomy chapter 11. My name is Austin Wartner. I'm missionary to Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, and I'm very thankful for the opportunity to present a little bit of God's Word. Now, if you found Deuteronomy chapter 11, we'll read verses 13 through 15. The Bible says, "And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for the cattle, for thou mayest eat and be full." When I read these verses this morning, one word came to my mind that I believe summarizes what God wants out of his people. And I believe that word is the word passion, or passionate. Being passionate about what they have in Christ. Today we live in a world where the anti-God, the anti-Christ, the anti-God, or anti-Bible crowd is more excited about their agenda than God's blood-washed saints are about theirs, about being saved from a hell that would have been horrible forever. There are more people who are excited about their wicked agendas than we are, and it's a sad thing in this day and age. You know, the Sodomites today, they are flaming in their sin more than God's people are excited about God and His Word. You know, the Sodomites have had a lot of setbacks if you look at some of their history, but they haven't quit. Because why? Because they have been passionate about what they believe, and now they're not even coming out of the closet anymore. They're running out. They're running out, folks. And I believe today we have Christians that may be just going through the motions. Or they may even come to a camp meeting like this and they can hoop and holler and get excited for Christ. But the minute they leave the doors or leave the property, guess what? They forget everything that happened. That's what happens oftentimes. And we have Christians today who are living the Christian life half-hearted. Half-hearted. We sit here and wonder, why are the things going on in this world today? Why is it going? Why are things going so bad in our country? Half-heartedness, no passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's really just that right there. We have no passion. We have no heart for the things of God. In our text here, Israel was told by God to serve Him with all their heart and soul. You know what that means? That means with everything that they have, everything that they want, or God wants for them to do. God wants them to give. Wants Him to give us all our being. He wants us to do everything we can with all of our heart. And then, guess what? And then, and only then, is when God will show us His best. You know, isn't that kind of amazing? It's the fact that God wants us to give our best before He shows us His best. And that's the truth. It's a principle, I believe, that applies to us today. If we want God to give us His best, we must give Him our best. You know, a few years ago, when I was first saved, there was a missions project that was going on over in South Korea, and God spoke to my heart about going. Well, guess what? I didn't have the money by any means, but God kept bugging me about it, and I just said, "Okay, Lord, I'll go." I worked overtime at my job, and I saved saved my money, and it came up to about a week prior to me going, and I had about $200 left. I had all my bills to pay, and I was coming up on 2 weeks of no pay. And I didn't know what I was going to do. I was scared. I had only been saved a few years. My faith wasn't that strong. But there was a camp meeting, actually, we had going on at our church. And the director of the camp meeting got wind of what I was attempting to do. And all of a sudden, he said, "You know, I'm excited about that. You know, I'd like to give you $200 to help you with that." And then all of a sudden, another preacher comes up. And he puts some money on the piano. And he's like, "You know what? This is what we do." These guys were from Oklahoma. "This is what we do when we want to help somebody out." And then more people started coming. More people started coming. They got a bowl about this big. And by the time it was all said and done, that bowl was full of over $800. And it paid for everything. You know, what I'm trying to say here with that testimony is that I gave God my best. And it wasn't until I gave God my best that He showed me His best. And I was thankful that God could supply when I gave Him my best. And you know, there are so many people today who are foolish in thinking God will give us His best, and they won't even hardly give Him a wink of their time. Isn't that the truth? I believe if every Christian in America today gave God their best, the tide this nation is going in would turn in a heartbeat, very quickly.
Because God always places responsibility, what? On His people. 1 Peter 4:17 says, judgment must first begin where? The house of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall what? Humble themselves and pray and seek my face. It's always God's people. We need to stop blaming the liberals. We need to stop blaming the anti-God crowd. We need to stop blaming those people and start looking at ourselves and looking at our hearts and start realizing it's our responsibility to get right with God and to start giving Him all of our heart. Well, you say, give him his best in what? In what? Well, there's several things I could talk about, but I want to focus on one this morning, and that's his service. Service. You know, the word work in the Christian vocabulary has become a four-letter word. Work. Oh. Should I wash your mouth out with soap by telling me to work? You know, I don't know about some of these pastors here, but I'm sure you have people that, when it comes to the fun activities in a church, everyone's there. You know, the fellowship, the fishing trips, the camping trips, the fun activities. Oh, brother so-and-so, he'll be there and he'll support you. You know, he's going to get a free meal out of the whole ordeal. But when it comes to the work activities where they have to roll up their sleeves, they have to go and pass some tracks, go talk to some people, they're not there because they don't have any passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Would to God we would not be found sitting on our blessed assurance in a world full of work. You know, it's been said that play is far too overrated and work is far too underrated. And we have a lot of unfortunate, I'm not trying to be mean when I say this, but lazy Christians with no passion, no fire. They're excited about Jesus, so to say, but their life sure does not reflect it. You know, America is in a mess today because Christians have not lived out their Christianity with some passion. And that's what God wants, I believe. We see it in this verse today. I want to close with this illustration. Back in my home church up in North Dakota, we have a radio station up there, and we like to promote it at different festivals and events and things like that. We set up a booth. We try to talk to people and pass out tracts. And some of us would sit there for hours on end during those days. I mean, put in long hours, 8-9 hour days sometimes. And some of the people that are sitting next to us, they ask us, so how much are you getting paid to do this? You know, because they see us there all the time. They hate being there for their company or for their cause. But it's just a sacrifice for them, and they're getting paid to do it. And we sit there and we tell them, we're not getting paid a thing. And they just drop their jaws and like, what? You're sitting out here, you're standing on your feet all day, some people are being rude to you, and you just keep on smiling, giving out those tracts, and keep passing them out, and having some passion about it. It just mesmerizes them. It's like, wow. You know what? I think the reason the world is not coming to God and coming to our churches, it might be because some of us are portraying a Savior like, he's not a big deal, you know, he's my buddy, he's not, they have no passion. There's no passion in what they're doing. You know what? This world is going to be ruled by those who have some passion. Guess who's running the show right now, folks? It's the anti-God crowd because they have the passion, not us. If we want to see this thing turn around in this nation, it's the duty of every Christian to turn their attitude around, take a heart examination, and get some passion back in their lives. You know what? When I got saved, I got a new being in my life. I got changed. You know what? My life was empty. I needed some abundance. And when I got saved, I got the abundant life Jesus Christ talked about. My life changed. I want to give that to somebody else. I'm doing the best I can. I fail. I don't always live with passion. But by God's help, I've tried to, by the grace of God, do what I can. That's the attitude I believe we need to have. And if we don't have it here today, if we do not leave places like this where we get fed the Word of God, when guys get up here and try to ring the bell, so to say, not just the cowbell, but, you know, the other bells. If we leave places like this and we don't go out there and show this world the passion that God expects us to show, how are we ever going to expect the lost world to come and get saved? It's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. But I believe if we show some passion, we show some people that, hey, there is something real inside of us, it's going to make a difference in this nation. Thank you.